Welcome back to another episode. I am Derek Mata.
And I am Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. This is a Dadvice podcast about the ups and downs of modern fatherhood. Just a few dads hanging out, talking about the things that have worked for us, things that haven't worked for us, struggles we've had, successes we've had. Today, we have a special guest. My good friend, Tim, is with us. Tim has a very unique experience. Tim and I played in a band together for a long time. And when his son was born, we went on tour. And so Tim was gone. And Tim, what was it? 2 months, 3 months?
It was almost six months.
Yeah. right after. So, I mean, I'm telling this story. Tim, you take over. So Ethan was born, and then take us off.
Gosh, yeah. So right when I was actually at an ultrasound seeing my son for one of the first times before he was born, when our popularity had spiked on the internet and we realized that we had a band of some kind of notoriety. Fast forward to after my son was born, all of that traction led to some shows. That led to a connection to an agent. And then before you knew it, we were actually talking about touring, and not just like a brief tour. I mean, we were talking about, I think, like a 5 or 6 week tour. And we were contemplating the schedule for that. And gosh, that was a very interesting time, just because here I am. I have a less than 1 year old child. And I'm talking to my wife, and of course it's our first. So, you know, we're brand new to this being parents thing, and we're brand new to having babies, you know, I'm offered this opportunity to do something as a musician that most people don't get to experience. So in my case, I'm talking to my wife, I'm talking to my parents, I'm talking to even like the leadership of my church that I was going to at the time, just trying to get some advice to see like, hey man, you know, here's the pros, here's the cons, you know, just trying to get some input. So I'm not just making like a rash or selfish decision to go off and do this thing. Meanwhile, we record and release a music video that gets us even more attention. And then that leads to actually more touring that gets tacked on to the end of the touring that we hadn't even done yet. We hadn't even gone on a tour yet. We had a tour scheduled. And then the agent who booked us for the first one said, hey, you guys are really popular. I'd like to make money off of you. And we said, okay.
Yeah, I'd love it and, if you made money off of us. Second tour, yeah, let's go.
Can I also make money off of us? And they said, yeah,
and the answer was a little.
Yeah, some. Yeah, and you know, it fortunately in my instance, you know, my wife was on board. Everybody said it was cool. I was at a job that I was not intending to stay at long term anyway. And the money that I would earn from touring was enough to pay my mortgage and my bills at home. So not really much more than that. So it wasn't like I was walking home with like a fat bag at the end or something. But it was enough to kind of justify the experience without taking like a huge financial hit. And so I went on tour, and in fact, the way that the schedule landed, the very first tour started just a little over a month before my son turned 1 year old. So when I left, he was just under 11 months old. And actually, just before the very end of the tour was his first birthday. And serendipitously, it worked out where we had a show in Memphis. My wife has family just north of Memphis. So my wife and my son flew out on his birthday to meet us in Memphis. Our next show wasn't until like 4 or 5 days later in Las Vegas. So the band drove to Las Vegas, while I stayed in Tennessee, and I got to have a super great time with my wife and son in Tennessee. And actually, it was that moment that I had the realization of the cost of my decision. And I'll elaborate by saying that the very first night, I picked up my wife and my son from the airport, and we had a hotel nearby the airport before we made the trip to rural Tennessee where her family lives. And that night, my son was having a really hard time sleeping. I mean, he had a long day in the airport and on the plane and all this moving around back and forth. And during the night, my wife was trying to soothe him, you know, just snuggling with him, laying with him. But I just assumed, being a new father, that my son wanted my wife. But it wasn't until I laid on my back and I put him on my chest with his head on my chest that he calmed down almost immediately and fell asleep. And it was
awesome,
in that moment, I remember laying, and of course my wife was awake because he was fussing, but I remember looking at her and just realizing, like, man, I've at that point I had been gone, at least 4 weeks. He knew I was gone. Knew he missed dad already. This dude just turned 1 year old that day and he missed me. And I mean, I knew I missed him. But I guess it was at that moment that I realized how even that early my absence had an effect on him. Now, I don't think it was like some deep, long-lasting effect, but I knew that even immediately he noticed and he was aware enough to know that dad was gone and that dad was here now, and how valuable that was to him. You know, he's like, man, dad was gone. Now dad's here. I don't want dad to go away again. And that, oh my gosh, dude. And then if you can imagine me having to eventually, I mean, I got to spend a few days together and that was really great. I mean, some of the best memories was that trip. But eventually I had to get on a flight to Las Vegas. My wife and my son had to get on a flight to go back to Phoenix. And then I had like 4 more months of touring after that, and I mean, it was like, five or six weeks on.
It's really hard because in that moment, you saw that comfort that you had brought your son and that ease that he felt of being dad, being back. Right. And so not only do you have the challenge that you were already facing of missing your wife and missing your son, but now you have that, that conscious burden that you know that your son is missing you as much as you're missing him, and that just adds that extra layer of challenge.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot to process, and it made me realize the gravity of my absence so much more. And I'm so grateful that I even got to experience that kind of absence and reunion so early, because now I have 4 kids and I now already know the importance of me just being involved every day. I mean, my absence, whether it's just work or whether I get home and maybe I'm not feeling it, like maybe I had a long one, maybe I got shouted at by some customers, maybe I freaking almost died on the freeway to some nutcase or whatever. It's like you're not in like the dad zone, but coming home and mustering up that fatherhood, even if it's just for like the last couple hours of the day. I mean, I saw it in my son in that one moment, what really all of my kids experience a little bit every day is it's like they have this thirst, like this hunger for dad. I love my wife. She does a fantastic job caring for our kids. I mean, that she homeschools, she does all that crazy biz on top of, taking care of the house and everything else. But man, just with that, dad has the other half that the kids are hungry for too. I mean, obviously my wife cares for them in a way that I cannot, but vice versa, I can care for them in a way that my wife can't too.
So allow me to play devil's advocate here. Yeah, this is my favorite game. You can ask my wife. is this the experience of going on tour? And, you know, like you said, you know, people, there's a lot of musicians who never get that opportunity. Would you take that all back? Or would you say, like, you're glad that you got to experience that also? Because in my mind, I don't want it to, you know, I'm seeing it as dads are going to be like, I don't want to feel that pain. So I'm not going to chase my dreams. Are y'all following along here? Like, would you, if you could go back in time, would you say, you know what, like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to stay home with my wife and my newborn son. Or would you still want to be a musician?
I can easily say, and I've actually said lots of times in the past, that I would not trade that experience for anything. I mean, even if my otherwise touring experience was poor, which it wasn't, I had a great time touring. I had a great team of people that we toured with. And I mean, the fan base was great. It really was a very valuable and enjoyable time. I would not trade that experience, especially for the instance that I shared just a minute ago. I mean, just being able to experience that one thing taught me so much about my children and my child and my children to come. I mean, gosh, I guess in to go further with your example, in the instance of someone else considering chasing dreams that may be a time sacrifice, everyone is different. You know, there, I know lots of professional musicians who have a wife and kids at home, but they tour a lot. I mean, they tour often, they tour long. And you know what? Some wife and kids, they are built to handle that. Or, you know, that's everybody's occupational needs are different. I mean, some people travel for just sales work. And, you know, maybe their schedule of like, you know, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off is better for them and their family because it affords them some kind of flexibility that's better for them. I mean, every family dynamic is so different. And to say that, you know, you have to work a 9-to-5 to be happy as a family man is silly, because I don't think that anyone would think that that's true. And even the life of an entrepreneur, as now I'm taking over a family business, being a business owner or being a business operator, it takes a lot more of your time to do. It is definitely not like I get to punch in at the same time and I get to punch out at the same time. There's so much more happening, even at hours that you would normally, you know, block off per se. But there's also the value of setting up boundaries for your work. And I think that's really the important aspect of creating work-life balance, is creating boundaries within yourself to say, you know, at such and such a time, I'm going to be laser focused with work, or I'm going to be as productive as I can. But at such and such a time, or under such and such circumstances, I am family man. I'm taking off my work hat and I'm now putting on my dad hat. And, you know, I may get phone calls that work hat would think are super important, but you know what? I'm going to have to send those guys to voicemail. If it's really that important, they can leave me a voicemail and I'll answer when I'm back in business mode. But, you know, when I'm at the park with my kids, it's kids time. When I'm at home, you know, and it's dinner time, my phone's put away, or, you know, my laptop is closed or whatever. One of the great books that I've read is actually a book called, I believe it's The Five Love Languages, but they have a specific version for kids. And I just happened to pick that up on Audible. And I mean, it's basically the same principles, you know, all the love languages are the same, but it's put more specifically geared towards kids, and things like quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service. These things can really fill your kid up with what they need from you, you know, because I'm sure you guys have experienced it with your own children. If you have been away and then you return, they just, if they could put you in their body, they would pick you up and fold you into their body somehow. They can't be close enough. They want their whole body to be touching you in their hug. You know, often my kids will just ask me to pick them up. I mean, my oldest daughter is like 5 years old, man. She's getting a little too big to be picked up, but she always asks for me to pick her up because that's like her love language. She wants that like quality time. She wants that physical touch of like me holding her. And it's just, they're so hungry for that. And not being, I'm still so guilty. I'm not sitting here thinking that I do everything right, because I still get distracted by my devices, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
yeah.
I have the whole internet.
Yeah, I'm guilty too.
I have the whole internet in my pocket and it's full of garbage memes that I love. and I have to look at all of them. But, you know, I find myself often when I'm like doom scrolling on whatever app, I'll look away from my device and my kid is like staring into my soul, dude. You know, like, I don't know how long they've been looking at me, but they've been waiting for me to look back. They want me to see them. And it's just like with all kids, you know, they say, Dad, look at this. Dad, look at that. Hey, watch me do this. Hey, watch me do that. Yeah. They want you to be plugged in. And if you've got your phone and you're like, yeah, 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 cool. That ain't it, man. That's not good enough for them, man. That doesn't fill their cup. Like putting it down and staring at them and commenting on whatever goofy leg movement they decided to do or whatever, you know?
Gotta love kids. Like my 3-year-old, like he learned before he was 3, like, put your phone down, put your phone away. And so he would tell me, he would tell his mother, just so he can do some goofy leg thing that he's done 100 times before.
Yeah,
and he demanded that you put your phone down. And like, and you know, it really, and I'm still guilty of it. Like, but I tried to be more aware here and there. My wife will listen to it and be like, no, you're not. But like, I try to be more aware of like, shit, like my kids are wanting my attention. And they want me to watch them do what, you know, spin moves or run around each other in circles, like, because it means so much to them. Especially there's what certain stages of life that it's like they learn what they think is most important in your life. So if like, if this is what's in your hand 95% of the time and they don't have your attention, they now say, okay, so the phone is what's important for mom and dad. And it is heartbreaking. Like how much of the shit do we miss from our kids from doing the goofy leg thing? Like it's a great example. So I'm going to keep using it. Cause my son does some silly shit right now.
Ask me how I know.
I think it's important to appreciate the fact that like, it is, you know, parenting is hard. Right. And so, when you have, especially, you know, if you worked a long hard day and you're not feeling it right, having that thing that can help you dissociate a little bit from the stress and the pressure, it's not a bad thing, but it's so easy to get lost in it and for it to just suck up so much. And you know, we'll have to do an episode on media and screen time at some point, because I could go to town on all the people who are like, your kid won't remember the episode of Bluey that they watched with you on the couch, but they will remember the time when you guys went hiking in the forest. And I'm like, hey, you know what I remember the most from my childhood, like the single most formative memory that I have? It's sitting in the front room playing Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time on our Nintendo 64 with my older sister. Like, yeah, that time in front of the TV, I will absolutely remember and cherish that. And I'm not saying that my kid's gonna remember when they were playing on their own and I was sitting on my cell phone ignoring them. That's a whole nother story. But like, I just want to say, like, there is value in having the whole internet in the palm of your hand, but you're right. It can easily become that thing that your kid sees and recognizes, oh, dad would rather be on his phone than play with me. And I never, ever want you to feel that way. Right.
I'm super guilty of it. It's I'm watching my children grow up and I'm watching the gray hairs, you know, show up in my hair and whatnot. And like my kids, like, what is on my phone is not, like, we had the discussion before we started recording here, Goody, like, Facebook is boring. That's the only social media that I'm on. Like, why am I scrolling it? for what reason? Like, is my kid doing the same trick 100 times? Sure, but like, I'd rather, you know, I would rather. But
Jeanette's posting that roast that she made for the 100th time too. So
yeah, they both important. Want the same attention, dude. They both want the same attention. Look, watch me. Watch, look, look.
Yeah. So.
So, and I think that's something. So, Tim, it sounds like you picked up a lot of really valuable information from that experience of mm-hmm. you know, one, just knowing how important you are to your family, right? Because I think as a first-time dad myself, it was really easy for me for a long time to feel like, well, mom is the primary parent, right? Mom takes care of the baby. When the baby is upset, she probably wants mom. And breastfeeding just adds another level of complication to that, because a lot of the time it's true. You know, knowing that your kid wants time with you, knowing that you're the other half of that, you know, parenting duo, and that, yes, your wife might be the most important person in your child's life, but you're the second most important, and that's still very valuable. You know, so as a now a business owner, and somebody who's still working full time, how do you use that information and you know, plan your day around, you know, wanting to provide for your family and have them want for nothing, but also kind of settling for a slightly lower standard to be a part of that life that they're living, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So here's another thing. I'm gonna add another little valuable tidbit that I learned from touring, and that is spending that much time away from home was really tough. You know, you spend a long day doing hard work, and then you don't even get the satisfaction of coming home. So now I have this really great internal comparison where I can say, man, you know what? I had a long day. You know, I got up at, you know, early, and I got home late. You know, it was hard today. It was tough. I'm tired, whatever. But you know what? I got to come home today. You know, I get to sleep in my bed. I got to see my kids. You know, they got to see me. You know, even if it was only for, so, I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll work super late. You know, my kids go to bed probably around like, you know, 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And, you know, sometimes I'll come home just as my wife is like finishing the bedtime routine and is like shuffling them off to bed. I'll come home and they'll get that one little glimpse of me, one little hug before bed, the one little I love you before they go off. And I'm so grateful for that now, because I know in my mind that there was a period of time where I longed for that. I mean, I was spending all of this time being away, and all I could do is look at pictures of them. I didn't even, and then getting to come home, that reunion was so sweet. Now I have this internal contentment where I get to say, man, you know what? This is tough, but I get to come home. And also to answer the other part of your question, that appreciation for the importance of my presence, my physical presence with my kids and with my wife, and with my wife too. It's not like it's just my kids that need my attention. I mean, my wife, you know, is a homemaker. She's at home with the kids all day long. Sometimes she gets human interaction. Sometimes she doesn't get the gift of human interaction. So yeah. Sometimes I am the human interaction. So my physical presence coming home and getting to see another adult getting to see, like,
those days where you're the first adult that she's talked to all day hit differently for sure.
That's man. My wife too.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and also she, you know, she's my best friend. So we get to, you know, kind of have the end of the day like, oh, you know, how was your day? You know, and we have that little bonding moment. And, you know, so my presence with my wife is just as important as my presence with my kids. So like in the instance of like, say there's a doctor's appointment that, you know, my wife needs to go to, or like maybe one of the oldest, with four kids, that can be kind of troublesome. Most of the time my wife is, you know, a Billy badass, and she can just muscle all them kids and do the thing, which, dude, God bless her. But in some instances, that's not feasible depending on wherever the errand is. So I will be we put it on the schedule, and I intentionally set time away that day to say, okay, I am working until this time, and then I'm going to go home. I'm going to go watch the littles. We're going to play together while mom and whoever go out and do the thing. And that's my time. I'm, again, setting my phone, and like my work hat is hung up. I'm now in dad mode. I'm taking care of the kids. Or for example, another example of that would be my kids go to a co-op, and periodically they will do like field trips. And it's not super often, and I might not actually be able to make all of them depending on what my work schedule is. But if I can physically schedule the time, I want to go to those things. I mean, I want their fun memories to include dad. And that, and not because, you know, I think that I'm the most important part of that memory or whatever, but because I want to be included in the joy that they experience. You know, sometimes, you know, say mom is out doing like a trip to the zoo or whatever, attention being divided, one person versus four, that gets pretty tough. That's a pretty thin spread. But if dad is there, now it's two on one, and you have a much better likelihood of catching those little, you know, hey dad, what's that animal? Or hey mom, what does that do? Or blah, blah, blah. Where you might miss it if you're tending to a baby, or you're trying to soothe like a 2-year-old having a freak out over like a ping pong paddle in a freaking gift shop or whatever, you know, whatever the deal is. But you know, I want to be able to have that experience with my family. And being intentional about setting that time aside, possibly at the detriment of income. That is the trade-off, man. I mean, if we have enough to live, then that's enough. I mean, I'm trying to work extra where I can so that I can set money aside, you know, do the smart thing, pay off debt, you know, contribute to retirement, blah, 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 all of the smart money guy things, you know, that are on the smart money guy list of things to do.
Of course, of course.
But really, at the end of the day, you know, if you have to substitute rice and beans for chicken 1 week, but you got to spend extra time with your kids, I would much rather spend the time with my kids, because they're not going to remember that week that they just didn't like dinner that much. But they're going to remember the time that dad was there, like, throwing them into the couch cushions over and over again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and that's something, one of the pieces of advice that I got when Alana was first born is like, take your PTO and take any extra time that you can, because I know for me, I'm a huge workaholic, right? And like my dad worked hard every single day. And that was the example that I had set for me, was long hours, hard days, providing for the family. And I respect the hell out of it. But you know, my inclination is always, I'm gonna grind. I'm gonna work hard so that I can retire early, or so that we can have that thing that we want, or whatever it is. And if putting in that grind means that I get to retire 5 years earlier, sure, that's really awesome, right? But if working 5 years more means that I don't miss baseball games and dance recitals and trips to the zoo, and I can take those 5 years throughout the course of my kid's life in days off and time for us, rather than, you know, when my kid is fully grown and I can retire and do what with my life, right? Not hang out with her because she's then grinding to retire early and continuing the cycle that I've built. Like, taking that time and just setting those boundaries, like you said. I worked in the hospitality industry for a long time, and the biggest thing that I took away from hospitality and customer service was managing expectations and delivering on those expectations is so much more important than hitting a specific goal, right? If you set a particular expectation of time that you're going to spend with your kids and you show up for that, that's awesome. Your partner isn't going to expect you to put the kid down for nap in the middle of your workday because they expect you to be at work. But if on Saturday you put the kid down for nap, then show up and be there, right? And follow through on those expectations. And I think your kids see that too, of setting aside time, and they appreciate that in the same way that they see your phone and go, oh, the phone is important. If they see you making time for them and setting dates and outings and playtime and holding up those expectations, they see that and they recognize, oh, I'm important to dad. Dad is making time. Dad's really busy. Dad works a lot, but dad makes time for me. And kids see that and they feel the weight of that too.
Yeah. And even beyond that, I'll take that a step further and say, it's not even now the act of doing the thing, like the act of putting your baby down, when you might not normally be the person to put the baby down, or you're the guy to change the diaper when maybe you're not typically home to change the diaper. I will even challenge other men to do so with a happy heart, you know, because you don't want to appear begrudging to your kids, like, hey, honey, can you, you know, would you mind changing the baby's diaper? And you go, all right. And you're just staring down this kid like you're mad dogging him at a bar while you're changing the diaper. And you're like, you know, you're like giving this kid shaking baby syndrome, trying to put him to sleep or whatever, you know, like just trying to hustle him to sleep. It's like you know, it's a joy in your heart. You know, you love your children. There's no replacement for that. The feeling that you have for your kids, there's nothing like it. And then you have to portray that to your children. Telling is one thing, showing is another. And showing them that it's a joy to be around them, showing them that it's a joy to do things for them, you know. And, you know, as your kids get older, my kids draw a ton. I mean a ton. They draw pictures freaking galore, dude. It's unbelievable, the production rate. I mean, I have like a little sweatshop of drawings in my house right now. But they're constantly pumping out these pictures and like coloring pages of stuff. And dude, they are so jacked up to show me all the time. And I want to return that energy to them because they were thinking of me when they were drawing this. I was gone at work and they were thinking to themselves, dude, I'm going to draw this. I'm going to draw it for dad. And I think he's going to love this. And imagine coming home. You made this super special thing like all day, like put a bunch of time and energy into it. You're like, oh man, hell yeah, this thing is so cool. And then you give it to the person, they're like, huh,
all right. Anyway, what's for dinner?
You know, yeah, it's like, you know, I when I put it to even myself that way, it made me stop. And, you know, you want to intentionally look at the thing, look at it, you know, better than just kind of, you know, put it up to your face, look at it, notice a few things about it, you know, go, wow, I like how you drew this. I like the color choices that you made. Oh, that's so interesting. Is that a butterfly that you drew over there? man, that's so cool. Thank you so much. That's so thoughtful of you. You know, taking it just that little bit to show them that they did something in joy for me and I appreciate it, you know, because there's going to be a day where they're not coloring me stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be a day one day where they're not thinking of dad doing anything.
Yeah, that's one of those things. And if it doesn't come easy for you, I'm a person who I appreciate, if you can't sell from the Peter Pan behind me and the Peter Pan tattooed on me and the Legend of Zelda behind me, like, I'm a child. I see the magic in the world and appreciate all the little things. And I try to maintain that in myself, and having a kid has only made it easier for me. So, seeing all those awesome things in a drawing is something that comes naturally to me. And I'm not trying to brag by saying that, because I have hard days where I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I don't want to look at the 33rd butterfly that my daughter drew for me. And I know that there are a lot of guys who that just doesn't come naturally to, right? I mean, we've talked on this podcast before about the fact that just like American culture, guys having emotion, guys getting excited about art and about drawings and that kind of stuff isn't something that comes natural to a lot of men. And so, you know, I think that's a really awesome opportunity to kind of act as if you will, and fake it till you make it. Because if you look at those drawings and look at those, you know, details and say, oh, hey, cool, honey, you know, look at this here, and I really appreciate you drawing that for me. Even if that's not your first inclination, doing that enough will help you learn to do it more genuinely, right? Because you have that gratitude. You have that instinct inside of you. It's just been buried by years and years of the societal and cultural representation of a boys don't cry generation telling you that's not a pretty butterfly. That's not okay to think that a drawing is cool. And like, men miss out on so much stuff because we're worried about being cool. I gave up on being cool so long ago, and it was the best decision I ever made, because I think butterflies are rad. I think drawings are awesome.
See, like, I was never cool, but like, I want to be cool. So when my kids show me something, I'm like, hey, you did this right. So it's a learning thing for me too, especially because like I have two young ones. Like I feel bad for my older children, because they've learned the, all right, cool, like you gave me something, like, all right, like, and so like now my son's like, dad, look what I made for you, and I'm like, this is so awesome, buddy. And like, and my first thought is, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Right, I don't know what this is, but sweet, dude.
so like you said, like we're so as American dads, like, so inclined to just be like, this isn't a masterpiece. Like well, we have, you know, we have to teach ourselves these things.
Yeah, so and that's even that's just a piece of the whole picture for like our calling as men, right? I mean, we are to be I've heard it described before as being built like a house, where you're called to be hard sheathing on the outside to protect you from danger and the elements, but you're to have drywall on the inside to be comfortable and warm for the people that you care about, and not even just solid walls, but you are to have windows so that your children can look out from protection and see the world through a worldview or like a window from safety to see what life is like. So, I mean,
I love that.
In that calling, it's complicated. You know, we are not just to be the providers of income. We are also called to be loving and nurturing to our wife. We are to be husbands. We are, you know, also called to be fathers. So we're trying to raise our children up. But in providing for our kids, we're also trying to look further down the road than just our immediate need. Mm-hmm. So we're also trying to make investments in the future. So, and not, sure, it would be great to leave an inheritance to our kids. Like, that, I think, is important too. But even beyond that, my primary objective is to just not be a burden to my kids when I'm old, because I mean, I don't know if you've looked around at the state of elderly in our particular generation, but elderly care is very expensive. And if they were counting on the government to cover those costs, they might be totally screwed. And then that cost winds up on the next person in line, which is typically their children. And those people are trying to just get by day to day. That becomes a very slippery generational slope. So, I mean, even if your retirement isn't to just, you know, live in Cancun and, you know, snort, blow off of hookers the whole time, it's at least to live comfortably and to not need your children's dime to get by.
And
hopefully be able to pour into what would eventually be your grandchildren. So, you know, at the end of a long day, you're feeling drained because you've got a lot on your plate, my dude. You know, as a dad, as a guy, you have a lot of things that you're rolling around because that's what we're built for, man. I mean, we're not mom because that's just not how we're put together. We're put together to handle all of these different aspects of this thing that we're in right now called life. And, you know, we're, you know, maybe we'll nail it some days. Maybe we won't. I know in the instance of the coloring pictures, it is not my inclination to praise every crayon scribble I see, because even when I was a kid, I didn't care about people's feedback. I just did stuff that I liked. And if people liked it, cool, man. Like, sweet. But I didn't do it because I was expecting like a high five just, from somebody. I was doing it because I thought
to,
it was rad.
You have to constantly remind yourself that your kids aren't as punk rock as you are, and they have a long way to go.
it's basically.
But yeah, you're right, man. There's a and I will plug it all day long. There's no connection to this page whatsoever, but there's an Instagram page called The Tired Dad that I follow, and Tim's nodding like you know exactly who this is. Derek, I do not on Instagram.
I see it when I log into Instagram to see what we're posting.
his whole thing is keep showing up. Things are hard. Keep showing up. Dads get depression. Keep showing up. Your kid's going to show you 400 butterflies this month. Keep showing up. Just keep doing the thing. Keep being there for your kid. And you're going to do a good job being a dad. And it's a page that kind of found me when my daughter was first born, and what other algorithm heard that I was talking about the fact that I was going to have a baby was like, you need this in your life. And I have followed him ever since, because that constant reminder of just keep showing up, keep being there, because that's the biggest thing that we can do as dads is just be there for our kids.
Yeah, man. And that, that can easily look different for lots of different people. I particularly am a fan and advocate for the show Bluey, which maybe that is a hot button topic on this channel or not. I personally have a deep affection for the show Bluey, but mostly because there are episodes. I believe there's an episode called Octopus, and it goes over the adventure of Bluey's dad playing a game called Octopus, a very particular way that one, yes. A girl named Chloe enjoys, and then she goes home to her dad and tries to reenact that same kind of play with her dad. But her dad is not built that way. And it does not go over the way that Chloe's internal expectations expect. Harsh words are shared. And the dad has to just kind of handle that. But he handles it in his own way, which is the only way that he knows how to do it. He's not trying to be some other dad. He didn't go over to Bluey's house and like look through the windows to see how Bluey's dad freaking plays this game and then, you know, try and fake it. He ends up hitting the internet and learning how octopuses go. And he plays the game how it makes sense to him. And he works with his daughter and they make a whole new game that's just as fun to his daughter. And they make a bonding connection that way. And I think that is such a great representation to how we should all treat and interact with our kids, you know, it's so easy, especially in the age of social media. You know, obviously you're probably doom scrolling when you found this thing. You know, you're listening to us because you're doom scrolling. But you know, it's easy when you're scanning stuff like social media to see all of these representations of the right way to raise your kids or the right way to interact with your kids. Man, everybody's different, dude. You ask 10 different people, you get 10 different answers, and you have to work out what do you want for your kids? What do you want from your kids? You know, what do you want them to become? What kind of people do you want them to grow into? And how do you treat them? How do you nourish them to grow into those people? And you would, one algorithm does not work for another. You know, you have to hash that out. Yep. And to tie it back around, it takes showing up every day, dude.
Yeah. Well, and it's so easy to play that comparison game, right? Of like every dad wants to be Bandit Healer, right? But not every dad is Bandit Healer. Like that style of play and that style of showing up doesn't work for everybody. And not everybody's kids are Bluey and Bingo either. Like you could show up that way and really overwhelm a lot of children. And so you're right. I mean, it's, we talk about it all the time. You know, I continue to say, as long as you're not abusing your kids and as long as you're not neglecting your kids, you're probably doing a great job. And it's so easy to get wrapped up with what the right way to do something is. There's no best way to be a dad. There are a million and one great ways to be a dad. You just got to figure out what works for you, because there is no one solution. You know, there's three of us on the call right now, and the way that I play with my kids and the way that Derek plays with his kids and the way that Tim plays with his kids look completely different. All of us love our kids and all of our kids love us. And we're showing up for our kids in different ways. And that's kind of what makes parenting cool, is that there is no formula for it. It's overwhelmingly hard because I like instructions, right? I like knowing how to do something and how to do it the best way to do it. And there is no best way to do parenting. There is no best way to be a dad. You just figure it out and it works. And you make mistakes, and sometimes you're not the best dad, and you learn from those mistakes and you figure it out and you grow.
Man. And sometimes you have to consider. So this is something I learned from going to marital counseling. When you're married to someone for a long period of time, you have to consider how I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. If I met the person I was 5 years ago, he looks a lot different than I do right now. He thinks even different than I do. And the same is true for my wife. So every year and every day, I have to learn how to love my wife as she is, because she is growing to be a different person all the time, just like I'm growing to be a different person all the time. We're developing and changing actively all the time as things happen and things go on. And exponentially more true is our children. They're growing at an exponential rate. Almost every single day you see them, they're a quarter of an inch taller, and they have more development. They have more motor skills. They have more processing skills. So the way that you loved them even last week might not necessarily be the way that they need to be loved this week. So you think you have it down, and then maybe you feel like it's not working anymore. It's like, well, you know, you have to continue to learn how to love your kids wherever they're at.
Yeah. Well, and God forbid you're anybody except for me on this call and you have more than one kid. The way that you love one child, the way that you show up for one kid and play with one kid might not be the way that you need to or want to show up for the other kid. And making time to show up for all of them together, you know, or two at a time or three, it's so complicated, right? You know, we talk about it. My wife and I talk about it a lot, that being good partners meant me having time to be myself and her having time to be herself and us having time together, because we didn't want to become just an amalgamous us because we loved the people that we were. And now we have a child. And so I need time to be myself, and my wife needs time to be herself. And I need time to be dad and daughter, and she needs time to be mom and daughter. And we need time to be a couple, and we need time to be a family with all three of us. And then you add another kid in, and you get another layer to that. And then you add another and another, you know, it just builds on itself, and it can be really overwhelming, I imagine. I'm sure you guys can confirm for me.
It's no big deal.
Dealing with some pros here. Well, Tim, thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, we're trying to build, you know, a community here and a support group, because like we said, there's no one right way to be a dad. And we all have different perspectives, and we all have different successes. And it's great to hear the way I can say, both as a host of this podcast and as a personal friend, I'm so proud of you for the dad that you are. And the way that you parent your kids, it's an inspiration to me every day watching you raise your family. So, I mean, great work, man. Keep at it.
Dude, thanks. And I'm really glad that you're not here all the time to watch all the in-between stuff that you don't get to see normally. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that the internet makes me look really great, dude.
yeah, of course. There's always that filter of what you post versus what's happening on the off hours. But, yet another reason not to play that comparison game of looking at dads on the internet and saying, man, I wish I was more like Bandit Healer. Well, thanks for joining us, Tim. You guys, if you have any comments about, you know, work-life balance and the way that you spend time with your kids and the way that you prioritize time at home versus time away, please, if you're watching this on YouTube, comment it down below. If you're listening to this as a podcast, send us an email at proudofyoudads@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram or tweet at us at proudofyoudads. We always want to hear from you guys, and you know, if you're succeeding, tell us your wins. If you're struggling, tell us your struggles. And we might not be the one who have the answer. There might be some other dad in that comment section or some other dad on that Twitter feed who knows so much more than the three of us combined, or just knows that right thing for the struggle that you're having in the moment. So we really encourage that community discussion. And tell us what you want us to talk about next. You know, parenting is a constant thing, and Derek and I have a million and one topics to go. And we want more guests like Tim to come on and tell us their experiences, and just share in this thing that we call dad life.
Yeah, exactly. You said it all. I have nothing left to say. thanks, Giddy.
Hey, it's what I'm here for. Well, thanks for joining us this week, guys. Until next week, we're proud of you.